to It's All Journalism. I'm Megan Cloherty, here with fellow producer Michael O'Connell and Ed Timms, senior investigative reporter at the Dallas Morning News. Ed is an award-winning journalist with extensive experience covering local, state, national, and foreign news. He's also produced unique content for the web, including digital photography, audio, video, and interactive maps. Ed is also the first recipient of the newly created Dallas Morning News Fellowship in Professional Journalism. This fall, he'll lend his expertise to Reporting Texas, a student-run news site at the University of Texas at Austin's Moody College of Communication. Welcome, Ed.
Hello, how are you doing?
Thanks for joining us.
Yes. Not at all.
Can we start by talking about this fellowship? This is pretty cool.
It is very cool. It's something that I think is pretty rare these days. A lot of news organizations are facing a lot of financial issues. We certainly are not doing as well as we did in the past, but even so, the publisher of the paper and the editor and the previous CEO all have made a commitment to the future of journalism. We don't necessarily know what that future is going to be, but you know, they're still high on journalism, and they still want to make sure that there's a new generation of folks coming along who have strong values, strong skills, and will be better prepared to face whatever comes next in journalism.
So what expertise would you say that you're going to bring to this program, that you're going to teach these students about?
One of the things that I've tried to emphasize in previous classes is that you have to be flexible. You have to be open to the idea that technology increasingly is going to be a part of your job and that technology is likely going to change. Sometimes I think we get a little bit too caught up with, you know, whatever is the current flavor of the month. And the reality is that we don't really know for sure what's going to be the social media or what is going to be the platform that's going to all save us down the road. But if we have the mindset that there is going to be a platform where good journalism can be practiced, there may be multiple platforms where good journalism can be practiced, and that we're going to have to be accustomed to change. And those are the ideas that we share with the students that are coming out of J school. I think they're going to be much better prepared to take on whatever they encounter. And, you know, in reality, journalists have been doing that for a very long time with different kinds of technology. The industry was one of the first to really embrace the use of computers back, you know, in the dawn of time. And when satellite phones came along, the industry embraced that as well. I can remember more than one occasion being on a plane going over to Africa or the Middle East with the manual for a new sat phone, trying to figure out how on earth it's going to work because the technology had changed so quickly that the one that I used 6 months earlier was already obsolete.
My story is far less interesting. We used to have those sat phones in live trucks.
Yeah.
When you were too far out to get a signal, you'd have this sort of bulky phone. But that's not as interesting as your story, Ed.
No, it's the same thing. But you know this is that we have embraced technology. You know, as a profession, we have seen amazing change over the past 10, 15, 20, 30 years, and I think it's accelerating now. And I think it's going to be both exciting and a little bit daunting to both the people who are currently journalists and those who are coming along the way. But it's also kind of exciting, too. I'm looking forward to, again, mainly, you know, if I can do nothing else, I want to encourage students to come out of the UT program with, again, some very strong values about what journalism is, what it can accomplish, why it's important, and also encourage them to embrace the idea of change and innovation, even though probably what we may teach in the classroom next fall and next spring may well be obsolete by the time they graduate or by the time they take their first job. But that's okay, because as long as you are willing to change, and as long as you're willing to learn, that'll work out.
Ed, can you tell us a little bit just about briefly about your background and how you kind of became interested in being more plugged in, literally and figuratively, to digital journalism?
Oh, sure. So I'm a little bit of a technology geek from back when, and I had a very, I'm going to show how old I am, I had one of the very first personal computers, something called a K-Pro. And I did my first computer-assisted reporting project on that back in the early to mid-80s. It had a grand total of 128K of usable memory, so that'll give you some idea of just how much on the cutting edge of technology we were at the time. But that's how it started, is I very early on embraced the idea that computers are pretty cool. And, you know, whether you're just using it to write on, or even better, if you're using it, you know, to do computer-assisted reporting. And so it started with that. And then I ended up spending a significant portion of my career working on the national desk or for the foreign desk, where I was basically being thrust into disaster areas or conflicts. And, you know, the whole thing is about how do you get the information back? Because if you can't communicate, if you can't convey what you've seen back home, you're just a really expensive tourist in a really rotten location. So that was kind of the next step, is, you know, satellite technology was huge. You know, 1991 war, I was going around with a gas generator and a large satellite unit that we had to lug around in a Land Cruiser, very hard to set up. You know, last time I was in Iraq, you know, I was using a handheld satellite phone, and, you know, it was effortless to make contact anytime I wanted to.
Wow.
But that's how it kind of started. And then along the way also, I was kind of a guinea pig for some of the folks who worked for our website when we were first dabbling with that. And so periodically they'd come over and say, hey, we've got this, you know, digital recorder. Well, you want to go play with it? And I'd go, sure. And so I'd go out on an interview, and I would try to get audio so we could, you know, put it up on the web. And, you know, with hits and misses, I remember the very first time I used it, this is probably, what, late 80s, thereabouts, I was doing a story about some Sioux Indians who were very upset about the Medals of Honors that were awarded to soldiers who participated in Wounded Knee. And they were trying to get the medals rescinded. So I'm sitting down having the conversation, and I'm very excited because, you know, I've got my microphone out and I've figured out how to do the recording, which, again, as a print guy, you know, sound was not my thing up until that point. And I come back and, you know, replay it. And I had not noticed that they had a ceiling fan on in the room. And so much of the sound that I got, basically, it was like I was next to a helicopter. And I also discovered that a lesson that folks who start in broadcast learn very early on is that it's really not cool to interrupt people when you're talking to them if it's being recorded. And so, you know, you pick up a few things along the way. But from digital sound, I played around with digital photography and transmitting images, you know, back to the newspaper for the web on some of my overseas trips and also on national stories, doing, you know, slideshows, kind of evolved from that into video, and did a lot of that. And then from there, you know, most recently I've been playing around with, you know, interactive maps. I play around a lot with Google Fusion with the students. They produce some really nice interactive maps for a project they put together last year. And, you know, we're still playing around with new things. I mean, I'm not even sure what all those things are going to be next year, but we'll come up with something else.
So did you feel that all this, you seem like technology is something that sort of evolved as you were, your career was going forward. Did you sort of feel that it was changing the way you were telling stories? Were you changing what you were doing to fit the technology, or was it sort of a, you're meeting halfway?
You know, it just kind of happens, you don't even realize how it's changing what you're doing initially. I mean, if I sit back and think about it, and I have, yeah, it did change the way that I told stories. It increased my ability to connect with readers and new audiences. It gave me tools that really made it much easier in some ways, but definitely better in terms of what I could produce. The written word can only do so much. If you hear a voice, if you hear the intonation in the voice, that's value added. If you add to that video, that's an incredible amount of value added. And the same thing is true with interactive graphics. You know, and the old graphics that you saw in newspapers, you know, back 15, well, we still see them in newspapers, let's be honest, but, you know, just the flat out, you know, plain old graphic is okay, but it doesn't do that much. But if, for example, you can, you know, click on a specific city or a specific county, and all of a sudden this wealth of information is available to the viewer, that's huge. There is no way on God's green earth that a newspaper can include all the information that now is readily available because of the web. It's really kind of liberating.
You know, it's funny. I get involved in conversations on LinkedIn, and it's sort of, there seem to be sort of two types of journalists I end up talking to, those who sort of are embracing the change and sort of trying to figure out how technology can help them tell stories better, and others who sort of, I don't know, are almost dismissive of technology, and they're like, well, you know, we're supposed to, you know, the primary thing we should be focused on is reporting and the way we write, and the technology, you know, is often just bells and whistles to them. You know, what do you think about that?
Well, I think, I guess I can sympathize with both camps to a degree. I do think that in addition to all the wonderful things that new technology can bring to the table, there also are some potential perils as well. For example, a lot of news organizations now are emphasizing blogging, tweeting, using other social media to get the message out, to interact with viewers, readers, and I think that's mostly a good thing. But in a time when the staffs of various news organizations are constricting, where there are a lot more demands on a reporter's time, that can also be very distracting as well. And it can get in the way of in-depth reporting. It can get in the way of watchdog reporting. And that's not the fault of the technology. That's basically a resource issue. But it's the technology that is basically drawing people into a lot of different directions. So in a perfect world, I think you really need to have managers, editors, producers who practice triage, who take a very realistic view of, okay, here's what we have in terms of resources, here's what we want to accomplish. And if you do that, again, in that case, it's liberating. I think there are some people who will always be resistant to new technology. You know, there have been Luddites ever since the 19th century. They're still around in a different form today. But there's also a lot of folks who, it's not that they're anti-technology. They're frankly pretty fatigued.
They don't know how to use it.
Or they don't know how to use it. Or, you know, or the organizations that they work for haven't taken the time or don't have the resources to provide the kind of training that makes it both relevant and not something to be afraid of.
But Ed, don't you think it's important then, if you're not getting that opportunity from, you know, they're not bringing somebody in to train you how to use a Google Fusion table. Mm-hmm. Don't you think it's important for more experienced journalists, especially, to sort of keep those skills fresh, even just knowing how to, you know, how to sell your story on Twitter, even that small thing? Do you think that's important for people to know, or do you think it gets past a point where it really is, you know, it's not as relevant to what you're doing every day?
No, I think it is relevant. I think, you know, a lot of things can be self-taught. I mean, frankly, you know, I like to play around with Google Fusion. I started out on it basically, downloading the software and playing around.
Right. How do you use it specifically?
Well, mostly what I've used it for are creating interactive maps. I love interactive maps. I love being able to show, you know, when you're talking about a trend, if you're talking about a phenomenon, you know, have not only the visualization of here's what's going on, but again, being able to use Fusion to kind of bore in and provide additional statistics, mm-hmm. additional information. The students who I worked with last year produced a really great project on the resegregation of public schools in Texas. And so they were taking information from a variety of sources and showing kind of the racial, the demographics of each school district in the state. And they, you know, looked at it over a period of time. And what they were able to show with those maps was, you know, when people talk about, you know, the proverbial donut, you know, sometimes that's economics, you know, all the dough goes to the suburbs. When you're talking about public schools and race, it's basically white flight, that you could see how over a period of time the white students in a lot of urban areas just kept going farther and farther and farther out to the suburbs. And in the course of using those maps, they also came across something kind of interesting that no one had really expected, and that was there was black flight, too. Actually, there were indications that, again, depending on the economics, but a lot of black families had also moved out to the suburbs because of presumably some of the issues with the quality of education in the large urban areas as well. That's not something that I'm sure would have become immediately apparent to the students had they not been using those maps. I think, you know, and that suggests, you know, it's really a great reporting tool, even if it was not ever put online.
It's not just something that you're going to use to present your information, but
right.
It's actually something that informs the story to
a
great degree.
It helped shape the story. I mean, there were portions of the story that were influenced in terms of the conclusions, in terms of, you know, the questions that were later asked after they saw the map. That is a direct result of, wow, that's kind of cool. We expected white flight, but what's going on with that?
Now, you mentioned your students, and of mm-hmm. course, we started this conversation out with this fellowship that you're going, where you're going to be teaching students. Are you going to be teaching investigative journalism or?
It's a little fuzzy. Honestly, this is a new thing, and I am still, you know, waiting for some conversations about specifically what I'm going to be doing. I have a pretty good idea on a couple of things. I have been helping out with an investigative reporting class at UT for 2 years now, and I expect that will continue. I work with a really fantastic professor by the name of Bill Minutaglio down there, who we have tried to create sort of a teaching hospital environment where it's not just open the book, let's talk about investigative reporting, you know, let's talk about Watergate, et cetera, et cetera. It's hit the ground running. Okay, how many of you know how to use Excel? How many of you ever used Fusion? Guess what, guys? We're going to create a project. You know, we're going to come up with an idea. We're going to start looking for some stories to do. And ideally, if you hit gold, we'll try to get it published somewhere.
But mapping out data has become basically a cornerstone of investigative journalism at this point.
Absolutely.
Whereas in the 70s, it was, you know, you could have a bunch of papers on your desk. But at this point, you really need to know how to use some of these programs, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the things that I think we're going to be emphasizing even more as time goes on. I can't imagine, and I hate to say this, but I won't name specific universities, but, you know, there are places where you can get a degree in journalism and not know how to open an Excel spreadsheet. and that's criminal at
this
point.
But getting a job would be harder.
Exactly. And, you know, that really is criminal at this point because, you know, I can think of very few jobs in journalism, very few beats where having that basic skill isn't mandatory. When you get right down to it, you can say, well, you're covering cops, why would you need to do that? Well, if you're going to be looking at crime stats and you're not going to take everything that the local police department says at face value, you might want to play around Excel or Access. And you might want to check out the police budget.
But Ed, don't you think that I'm playing devil's advocate
sure.
here? Because a lot of us are on, you know, we get a story and we have to turn it around in 3 or 4 hours, if that. I mean, if you get that much time.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people see, especially interactive maps, as daunting. And you know, are they worth my time? If I only have 3 hours to do a story, am I going to spend half of that time creating a map? Do you think it's more just getting in there and tinkering with it and figuring out how best to use it and when to use it? Or how would you, I guess I'm asking, how would you instruct people to start using something like a Google Fusion table?
Well, I think, again, that gets back to the resource issue and the demands on a reporter's time. And I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, there are stories that reporters at the Dallas Morning News are doing every day where it would be nice to have an interactive map or something else online, and it doesn't get done. I mean, I just did that yesterday. I was working on a story involving a local university, and if I'd had a little bit more time, I might have come up with something. I didn't. It was all about getting the basic information, you know, together for a story. Another thing I actually like to do, just an aside, is I like to post a lot of documents online whenever I get a chance, so people have an opportunity to, if you cite a report, you know, there's either, you know, hyperlink or they can see a PDF of the whole thing. I think that's kind of a nice value added to the web, too. But the reality is that a lot of times people aren't going to have the time, but that can also be a crutch, too, because if you don't figure out how to use the technology, if you don't start trying to think in different ways about what could bring more to the story, no, you'll never use it. If you have those skills, if you play around with it in your spare time, and let's be honest, you know, in addition to all the incredible work that a lot of people are having to do, we all have spare time too. that's just a reality. You know, if instead of getting on eBay, you start playing around with Google Fusion, you know, the next time a story comes along where you do have the time to do something else, then you're ready for it. It's all about balance, and balance is a huge issue in journalism today.
So where do you see the current journalism student at? Do you think they're up to the challenge of what our career is going to be facing in the next 5-10 years?
I'll tell you this. I think one of the reasons that I've loved teaching, and I've spent some time down at UT for the last couple of years, and I've also been teaching at Texas Christian University with another fantastic journalism professor by the name of Tommy Thomason. And so I've had an opportunity to really sit down with students at a couple of universities and talk with them about, why are you in journalism? What do you expect to be doing? And I got to say, it's been some of the best therapy for me that, you know, I could imagine. You know, when you're at a newspaper or a TV station these days, a lot of times you're surrounded by a certain amount of gloom and doom. I mean, we've all had a rough go. I mean, it's not been an easy time for most of us. And when I talk to the students at the University of Texas and at Texas Christian University, they're not Pollyannish. They're not, you know, they're aware that things are not going to be easy. You know, they're aware that things are in flux. But they also are really high on what journalism is about. And you can call that idealism or whatever, but it's kind of, you know, it's the essential core of what a journalist should be. And I know that kind of probably sounds Pollyannish too, but I really do believe that. I mean, there's a lot of smart people that go into journalism. A lot of them can make a lot more money doing something else. They could certainly have better hours and more job security. But there's a lot of folks who are motivated by the opportunity that journalism provides to make a difference. And the students that I get to work with are motivated by that. They also recognize that they're not going to have an easy time necessarily getting a job, as I did when I graduated back when. When I graduated from college, it wasn't a matter of if I was going to get a job or if I was going to get a job at a newspaper. It was, would I start at the Dallas Morning News or in Abilene or Wichita Falls? It was a better market. Right now, when you come out of J school, there's some question about, you know, what platform will even be in existence 10 years from now or 5 years from now.
Or whether the skills that you're leaving with are going to be able to get you a job.
Well, that's true, which is why I think the skills that you really need to emphasize are not so much specific skills related to a specific program. I mean, I think that what you got to focus on is, you know, creating the mindset that I can deal with new technology. I know that new technology is going to be coming along, and I have a skill set that can be used regardless of what the ultimate platform is or platforms.
If some of our listeners want to look into further about the fellowship or about Dallas Morning News, how would they do that?
You can certainly do a Google search and it will come up. I think that's actually right now, I think that's primarily where you'd find it. We're still kind of very much on the front end of getting this established. So I think there's been a few releases. I think UT, I'm not even sure if UT has put out anything formally on that. But they can also take a look at the website for Reporting Texas, reportingtexas.com. Take a look at some of the work that students there are doing. As you probably well know, there's a lot of interesting work that's being done at other universities as well around the country. I mean, I do think that there is an opportunity for folks coming out of J school. I think it's a lot scarier than it was when I was coming out. But at the same time, it's important. And I'm just tickled to death that I'm getting an opportunity to spend a lot of time working with students who are interested in journalism and, you know, want to make a difference. It's a great opportunity. I've been a reporter and an editor for a very long time. I hope I have some skills that will help them, but I also think I'm going to learn a lot, too.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things that I told the folks down at UT when I first found out that I was going to be coming down there is I'm planning on using my time down there as a sort of like a scientist for the Petri dish. I have this, you know, huge campus that has a lot of folks in an age demographic that, you know, mainstream traditional media is arguably doing a very poor job of reaching. And I would really like to know why that is, you know, whether it's TV, newspaper, online, whatever, what needs to be done to engage folks who are in their late teens or early to mid-20s or late 20s. And so I think I'm going to have an opportunity to pick up a little knowledge about that. I guarantee you that there will be a lot of students down there who will be far more adept at social media or the latest social media that is gaining traction than I am. And I will be paying very close attention to that and picking that up as well. And hopefully at the end of the day, you know, both the students, faculty, and I'll all be sitting back and saying, we've all gotten something out of it. I hope. And that's we'll see.
Sounds like a really interesting venture to be a part of.
Oh, I'm very excited about it. And it's a great way of trying to give something back to, and I do think that's important. And at the same time, getting something in return. It's not a one-way street. I think that I will be learning, I won't say at least as much, but I'll be learning a lot when I'm down there. There's a lot of bright folks. There's a lot of professors who have some very interesting and innovative ideas that, and they have a very different perspective from folks who have been kind of, you know, in the trenches, so to speak.
Right.
And rather than maintain the distance and kind of look a little bit like, I wonder what those folks do, I'm going to have an opportunity to sit down over, you know, coffee or whatever, and talk out the problems of journalism. And I think I'm going to be surprised by some of the observations that they have, both the professors as well as the students. And they may be a little bit surprised by what I have to say as well. And I think that's good. I think when you're challenged, when you're forced to think about, well, I've always done it that way, but maybe that's not the smartest way of doing it, or maybe there's a different way of doing it. I think any time you're in that kind of situation, you know, ideally you're going to grow from it. And this is a perfect opportunity for that. And I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing other journalists getting the same opportunity down the road. I think it's going to be a pretty cool program.
Well, that's really cool. I mean, any journalist who's interested in learning more about what you're doing can look up Reporting Texas and obviously the Dallas Morning News. Ed, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
You've been listening to It's All Journalism, a weekly podcast about the changing state of media.
You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or find out more information about It's All Journalism at itsalljournalism.com.
We'd like to hear what you have to say. If you have topics that you'd like us to cover or suggestions about who to interview, email us at editor@itsalljournalism.com.
Also look for It's All Journalism on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at All Journalism.
The It's All Journalism podcast is produced in partnership with Association of Alternative News Media. Thanks for listening.